is not typically my practice to seek feedback from more than 1,000 Facebook friends about an upcoming sermon. However, as I prepare to preach on singleness, a topic rarely addressed from the pulpit, even though statistics suggest that at least 40% of all Americans are single, I wanted the thoughts and opinions of other people I know to make sure I considered the many aspects of singleness. For those of you who are my Facebook friends, you may have seen the large number of responses I received. However, the responses I got stretch far beyond the 20 people who commented on my posts or the nearly a dozen other who liked various responses within the posts. In about a 48-hour period, I had numerous people call, text, email me, online chat with me about my sermon topic. I think I've heard from or talked to somewhere between 40 and 50 people this week. I've heard from people who are straight, people who are gay, people who are completely single, people who are in dating relationships, people who are engaged, people who are recently married, people who have been married for a long time, people who got married later in life, and people who are divorced. I heard from people who live in totally different geographic places and are in entirely different stages of life, and people that I know from totally different stages of my life. Among other things, the overwhelming responses I received illustrate how desperately people want and need to hear a word about singleness in our culture and in the church. And I think it points to the general absence of those conversations. And unfortunately, the responses I have make it incredibly clear the ways that the church, at least the church in more recent decades, has failed singles. Even though at least 40% of all Americans are single, we live in a world where being married is normative. All of our sermon series titles for this series are song titles. I think many of you noticed this. And it was so easy to find three titles for the next 3 weeks of the series when we talk about marriage. For there are so many love songs. The majority of the songs we hear on the radio are about romantic relationships. Yet Beyoncé's Single Ladies, which forms the title for today, is one of the only songs about singleness. And even then, it's actually not really about being single. It just happens to have the word single in the title. Think about it. When was the last time you heard a song on the radio, "I'm single and love it"? I'm going to share with you my personal favorite. S is for science, bachelors of science. I is for identity, because I know who I am. N's for nice, G for goofy, and L's because I love to laugh. And E is even more the confidence I have in me, because single is who that I'm happy to be. Single and confident, who I was created to be. One is all I need to be who God created me to be. So single is wonderful for me. Thank you. So you're laughing, but you get my point. There aren't any songs like that because being married is the norm and being single is scary. Many of us went to college, are in college, or are sending our children to college in search of an education, higher learning, and new opportunities. But for many, laced in those expectations is a quest to find a mate, leading us to make jokes about women pursuing their MRS degree, or us placing pressure on graduating seniors to get engaged because of the ring by spring mentality. Yet the very fact that we make these jokes or create this pressure to get married demonstrates how strong the norm of marriage is and the ways that we portray marriage as something to aspire towards or achieve. So where does this leave single people? Often, it means for at least a time, singles feel isolated, broken or incomplete. If you read the post on my Facebook wall this week or listened to some of the conversations that I have had, you would hear the pain of many single people. People questioning their identity and if they will ever be whole. And the thing is, these feelings are sneaky because rarely does anyone walk up to a single person and say, you aren't good enough because you aren't married. It comes in the subtle comments, things that I'm confident that all of us have at least heard, if not uttered, ourselves. Poor Susie, I just don't get it. She is such an amazing person. I can't believe some man didn't snatch her up years ago. Statements like that are meant to compliment Susie for how great she is. But what they're really doing is saying, despite the fact that Susie has an awesome job, volunteers with Habitat for Humanity, is active in her church, that she could be more awesome if she were married. Or how about the countless offers that single people receive to be set up? We appreciate the sentiment, and if you really do know someone you think we could connect with, then we might be interested. But asking that question to us several times a week communicates to us that we are not good enough because we don't have a significant other, as do your suggestions to try online dating or this or that social group or to go to this restaurant or this bar or to just stop looking for someone altogether, because once you stop looking, that's when you'll find someone. Don't get me wrong. There are times when being single can be really lonely. After a long day, when you really wish there was someone there when you came home to vent and unwind, or when you really wish there was someone else around to take out the trash or to help you conquer that large growing pile of dirty dishes in the sink. But that doesn't mean that every day is like that or that singles want to be pitied. As single pastor Ashley Alley wrote in an article in Relevant magazine, there are days when singleness feels unbearable and days when it feels empowering. Yes, there are days when being single feels unbearable, but I'm sure there are days when being married seems unbearable too. And being single can also be incredibly empowering. Days when you feel on top of the world because you manage your job, yard work, house cleaning, your bank account, a social life, cooking dinner for yourself, all on your own. The joys of being single continue far beyond being empowered. Paul says that the single person is more blessed if they remain as they are. And there are undoubtedly blessings that come with being a single person. Singleness creates a level of freedom that married people do not have. There are less factors hindering the single person from taking a last-minute weekend trip to visit a friend or attend a concert or a sporting event, and also hindering them from going on a week-long mission trip or choosing to spend an extended period of time serving another city or country in mission. Singles may also have more financial freedom, whether to buy a new pair of shoes or the latest Apple product, or to give a higher percentage of their income to charity or the church. A season of singleness can be irreplaceable in helping an individual to understand their identity, who God created them to be, and the gifts they've been given by the Holy Spirit. Multiple of my friends who are married later in life talk about how valuable their season of singleness was in shaping their own self-identity, and how they are better in their marriage because they are more confident in who they are as individuals. One of my clergy friends says that whenever he does marriage counseling, he always tells couples before they say, I do, they must understand who I is and what that means. He observes that far too often, one or both members of the couple want to get married because they think it's the only way they can be complete, and thus they have no grasp of who I is. Yet, as he points out, how can we commit to anything, especially to another person, if we don't know who we are first? Despite the joys of singleness, the failure of society and the modern church to celebrate singleness has created despair and confliction for many singles. The failure of the church to singles is particularly heartbreaking since the church was founded by single people. Jesus was single. So were the disciples and Mary Magdalene and Mary and Martha and many of the other women who followed Jesus. And Paul was single. And in our scripture lesson for today, he encourages people to remain unmarried like he is, for those who refrain from marriage will do better. Paul subsequently explains that unmarried people will do better because they are free to focus on the Lord and how to please God alone, unlike married people who have the distraction of a spouse who they are worried about pleasing. Yet Paul makes it very clear that marriage is not a sin and that people who are aflame with passion, as he says, should marry. Paul recognizes that neither marriage nor singleness are for everyone. Rather, both are callings. Compared to Protestant churches, the Catholic Church has done a much better job of understanding that both singleness and marriage are callings and celebrating both of those callings. One of my friends who was raised Catholic remembers learning in Sunday school at a relatively young age that both singleness and marriage are callings, and that rather than praying to God for a boyfriend or a girlfriend, they should pray that God would make it clear to them what they were being called to. It makes sense that this would be a regular part of Catholic teaching and formation, since priests and nuns take vows of celibacy and singleness as part of their commitment to the church. Following the instructions of Paul, priests and nuns commit their life and sacrifice to singleness so they can more freely and faithfully serve the church. And this commitment and sacrifice to singleness becomes one of the many reasons why I admire and deeply respect the Catholic Church and its leaders. For it's a commitment that I am not sure I can make or that I am called to make. Unfortunately, that becomes the challenge for many singles with 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and the ways that it can be interpreted. Paul makes it very clear that singleness is a calling and it is not for everyone. However, I've seen both married and single Christians be quick to jump to this passage when a friend is struggling with singleness, comforting them by telling them that their singleness allows them to more faithfully serve the church. And that can be very painful. For what about the single people who don't feel called to singleness? For women who have longed for years to bear a child, and yet they know that window of opportunity is closing. For the man or woman who is going through a divorce and trying to figure out how to live as a single person after being married for so long. Although there are people who choose to be single for a season or permanently, sometimes being single is not a choice. When you're single, you can't just snap your fingers or say the right prayer and suddenly you will meet the person who will be the perfect lifelong partner for you. Perhaps one of the best responses I got this week was from a friend who described her deep and confident calling to marriage and to motherhood, and the daily pain she faces since that is not her current reality. Now, I truly believe, and I think she does too, that if God has placed this calling on her life, then it will come to fruition, even if it is not in the timing or ways that she may expect or want. And I do want to take a moment to be clear that desire and calling are not the same thing. And that just because someone deeply desires to be married does not necessarily mean that God is calling them to marriage. But for a person who is really struggling with singleness, someone married or otherwise telling them that their singleness gives them a wonderful opportunity to serve the church may seem like a bitter consolation prize. Furthermore, I've seen far too many singles be abused by the church because people assume that since they aren't married, they can serve on every committee and be at the church all the time. Nevertheless, Paul speaks definite truth when he says that the attention of a single person is less divided than that of a married person. Whether you are single for a season of your life or if singleness is a permanent state of being, time as a single person offers a different kind of space and opportunity to grow in our faith and in knowledge and love of God. On the days when singleness seems unbearable, don't be afraid to cry out to God in loneliness and pain and open yourself up to the peace and comfort of the Holy Spirit. And on days when being single is beautifully empowering, celebrate in your identity as a child of God that equips you to handle all of life's twists and turns without another person walking alongside you. Look for God with you on the empowering days so that it is easier to find God on the unbearable ones. All of us are created whole, without blemish, and in the image of God. Meaning that none of us, married or unmarried, need a spouse to be made whole. In our Book of Discipline, which is the book that contains all of the beliefs and doctrines of the United Methodist Church, our church clearly acknowledges the beauty and wholeness of all people, single or married. It says, "We especially reject the idea that God made individuals as incomplete fragments, made whole only in union with one another." Our church, at least in doctrine, especially rejects the idea that individuals are incomplete fragments, made whole only in union with another, meaning that we as individuals, both as single and married people, need to start putting that belief into practice. Married people, rather than offering to set up that single person in your office or the one sitting further down the pew from you, why not invite them to dinner with your family so that you can get to know and celebrate the wholeness and beauty of this child of God? Or instead of lamenting how tragic it is that Susie is so wonderful and yet she can't seem to get a date, affirm her for who she is and all of her awesomeness. Create spaces where singles feel welcomed into your family rather than those where they feel second rate because they do not have a family that looks like yours or like what society tells them it should look like. For those of you who are single, hear this. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, perfect and whole just as you are. Don't let anyone, including yourself, tell you that you are any less of a person simply because you are currently walking this journey alone, especially since we're never really alone anyways. Take advantage of your interests being less divided and spend time with God in worship, in prayer, through reading scripture, through giving, and through service, so that you can grow increasingly confident in who you are, both as you and as a child of God. Then, if your season of singleness eventually comes to an end, you can know the I in I do. And if your season of singleness turns out to be a permanent state of being, then your growth will only continue to affirm your wholeness exactly as you are. Besides, as Christians, we shouldn't believe that you need another person to be complete. Because what we are all striving for as followers of Christ, single or married, is to be made holy, to be sanctified. Sanctification does not come through marrying the one, whatever that means anyways. It comes through the grace of the Trinity, working within you, making you holy and complete. Completion comes not through other people, but through God, and that is true for all people, young and old, male and female, single or married. For many single people, being single is not a choice. Some haven't met someone worth spending the rest of their life with, even though they may have been searching for 10 or 20 or 30 or even 40 years. Other singles haven't always been single, but divorce or death has caused a painful shift in their relationship status. Some singles are very content with being single, at least at the moment, while others, it can be a painful reality. But just as being married has its ups and downs, its joys and sorrows, so does being single. And for those of you who are called to singleness, it is a noble calling. May we all, single and married people alike, do a better job of celebrating and embracing the single people in our lives and in the body of Christ, allowing singleness to become just as normal as being married. For we all are equals as members of the body of Christ, fearfully and wonderfully made as sons and daughters of Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.